Fed chiefs on Capitol Hill again testifying about the economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke is giving another report to Congress. Chaos in the Middle East and North Africa has caused oil prices to spike, and Congress is asking Bernanke whether the rise in gas prices will stifle America's economic recovery. Karen Shaw-Petru is managing partner of Federal Financial Analytics, and she's with us live right now from Washington, D.C. Good morning, Karen.
Morning, Steve.
So Mr. Bernanke said today the spike in oil prices won't have much of an effect on the economic recovery. What do you think?
I think he said, so far, so good, but if this lasts any longer, watch out. And I agree with that. I mean, these times are very, very unsettled, so he's being very careful about the forecast right now, and that makes sense.
The Fed chairman also said, Karen, the recovery was becoming self-sustaining. Those were his words. But then the central bank continues to buy up government bonds to try and keep interest rates low. Are they sending out mixed signals here?
I think they're just, again, being very, very careful. Becoming self-sustaining is good. On a firm recovery moving forward, not yet. And that's where they're remaining really cautious. And again, I think that's right.
How important are the words that he's using and choosing today?
Oh, they're always very carefully chosen to send carefully nuanced messages to the market that make us confident but not over happy.
Cautiously optimistic.
That's exactly.
All right. Karen Shaw-Petru, managing partner over at Federal Financial Analytics in Washington, D.C. Karen, thanks.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Well, markets are a little lower right now, generally about 0.5% or so. The Dow off about 57 points at 12,168. The government said factory production grew last month at the fastest clip in 7 years. Construction spending, however, in January was down. Well, today, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker is expected to release his budget proposal. The governor already ignited a bunch of controversy, as you know, by trying to restrict collective bargaining with the state workers' union as a way to address Wisconsin's budget problems. But Marketplace's Jeff Tyler asks, is the state budget really that bad?
Starting in July, Wisconsin faces an expected budget shortfall of $1.8 billion for the next year. That's about 13% of the state's total budget. Nick Johnson with the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities puts Wisconsin's shortfall in perspective.
The nationwide average budget shortfall among all the states is about 20% of state spending. So Wisconsin's budget shortfall is certainly significant, but smaller than the national average.
Just about every state faces some kind of budget gap. Nevada's red ink represents about 45% of its budget. Texas and New Jersey both face shortfalls that exceed 30% of their budgets. Ohio is more in line with Wisconsin at around 11%. Like Wisconsin, Ohio is also considering changes to collective bargaining that it says are needed to balance the budget. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect. By Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud. And by Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
A little while ago, the rating agency Fitch downgraded Libya's credit rating 3 notches to triple B, essentially junk status. Well, the Libyan oil chief said protests and unrest in his country have cut production in half. The intent of protesters, of course, is to overthrow Colonel Gaddafi there, which was successful for the people next door in Egypt. Well, Egypt is trying to rebuild its economy after the chaos there. From Cairo, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman filed this report.
It took me a long time to get the specs right. Acoustic studies to lighting.
Veteran newspaper publisher Hisham Essam is showing me around a gutted warehouse where he's building his newest media venture. He had to raise $5 million for the startup.
A lot of people were saying, well, Hisham has a good track record, but we're going to be in trouble with Mubarak if we invest with him.
That's because Essam's previous papers had an irritating habit of irritating the authorities. Now those authorities are out, and the investors are in on the ground floor of a more promising business.
They're saying, we invested with you and it was high risk. And now we're just going to get so many people buying shares.
Revolution often breeds instability, but Hisham Essam and other entrepreneurs here believe that with political reform and financial transparency, their country will eventually be a better place to make an honest Egyptian pound.
Well, I can tell you in a good environment, I can grow at 30% or maybe 40% year over year.
That's Mehtat Khalil, a very successful telecom entrepreneur. His company has grown to 3,000 employees and $400 million in revenue by selling cell phones and internet to Egypt's growing middle class. The company could have grown faster, but Khalil says he routinely turned down government contracts when asked to pay bribes.
I think the future will be much better for Egypt. However, I think the coming 8 months will be very, very difficult time.
Khalil thinks it'll take the military at least that long to hold elections, placate workers demanding higher pay, and get banking and the stock market going again. In the meantime, foreign investors might see all the uncertainty and hold back. And multinationals could put expansion plans on hold, says Hisham Fahmi of the American Chamber of Commerce in Egypt.
That's the price of democracy. We've tried the stable dictatorship. Now we're trying the little unstable democracy. I think it's in everybody's interest for this experiment, revolution, to succeed in Egypt.
The economic future of the Arab world's largest country with 80 million people hangs in the balance. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, Kevin Tostado dreams of being a Monopoly champion. The filmmaker debuts his documentary in San Diego this Friday. He met people that take the board game very seriously. One woman decked out her bathroom, even has faucet handles like player pieces. And then there's the guy who tattooed the Monopoly board on his back. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. On Twitter at Radio Chio, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Driving through Jakarta, Indonesia comes with challenges, and that's where the jockeys come in. We're not talking racehorses either.
They are so creative. They're really the real businessmen because they can do income from the critical situation.
I'm Kai Rizdal, business born of traffic laws. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.